Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And today we are live at the BetMGM Sports Lounge at Bridgestone Arena. The SEC tournament is now underway. LSU and Mississippi State just tipped off just a few seconds ago. And the Titans, Ranta Claus, bringing us a wide receiver. Titans signed Calvin Ridley yesterday afternoon. 4-year deal worth up to $92 million. $50 million of that is guaranteed. And joining us now to react to all things free agency is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and, of course, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. First and foremost, your reaction to the Calvin Ridley signing. And do you think that that could perhaps shift the Titans' draft approach in terms of going after a receiver with the first two picks in the draft?
I definitely think it could impact it. I guess my first reaction to the signing is, look, I think that Ridley's a good player. He's one of these guys that I think he's, I think it's fair to say he's a complete receiver, meaning we can get off the press. He's got good long speed. You can play him inside. You can play him outside, certainly. So I think that, you know, because of his ability and versatility, I think that you could definitely say that, you know, signing him and then paying him what they're paying him, that it absolutely could impact the draft strategy.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck and looking at the Calvin Ridley signing, 4 years, $92 million, 50 guaranteed. It kind of sounds to me like a 2-year, $25 million deal, and after 2 years, you go from there. Was it an overpay?
Well, I think it's a lot of money. I think all these wide receivers are making a lot of money. I think the part that probably that you would look at it, like I think Calvin Ridley's just inside 30 years old. I think, and not to keep going back, at some point we, you know, got to move on from it all. But, like, you know, if you look at A.J. Brown, his age, the deal he was signed to, that it probably would have made sense to sign A.J. Brown and have him on, you know, not a 2-year deal that had $50 million, you know, in guaranteed money tied to it, but, you know, a longer-term deal with that. Look, you like a real 4 or 5 year contract. So, like, do they overpay for him? I mean, the market has changed. The cap's gone up. Can he be a number one wide receiver? I believe that he can. So, but at the same time, like, if you were to, contrast that to, you know, a guy that they had drafted who they had on a rookie deal who's 26 years old, it could feel like that a little bit.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. Now that they've acquired Calvin Ridley, you look at their skill guys, and I'm not going to go too far into depth-wise, but you have D-Hop, you have Ridley now, Treylon Burks, Chigakonkwo, you got Pollard and Spears, and then you have a young quarterback. How do you rank this offense just with those guys, knowing what Houston has done, knowing what Jacksonville has done and what they may continue to do, but they lose Ridley, so they may be set back in that regards. They go out and get Gabe Davis, but it's Gabe Davis, Calvin Ridley. We don't know yet, or he may end up being better than Calvin Ridley in that offense. But where do you stack up this Tennessee's offense and them getting Cushenberry? Where do you stack up this Tennessee offense right now?
Yeah, I mean, here's what I would say. I think DeAndre Hopkins, the type of player that he is now, I mean, I think that there's certainly value there. Look, I just said I think Calvin Ridley has the ability to be a number one wide receiver. Treylon Burks has had his moments. I think Chigakonkwo is a really talented player. And then Tony Pollard is – a young explosive player. So, like, I think there are really, really good players on the offense. But I think it's fair to say that, like, you just go around the division and you can kind of make that similar argument, you know, in terms of the players that are around the quarterback. And so what that ends up, you know, kind of meaning is that I think a lot of it depends on where you think the quarterback is. So let's just take, for example, the Houston Texans. Well, like Nico Collins had a good year. Tank Dell had a really good year. So like that's two young receivers that have played well. Robert Woods, like you can kind of say, even though he's a different receiver, like maybe he's the DeAndre Hopkins type role. Dalton Schultz, you know, probably a comp to Chig. And then when you look at, you know, their running back situation, they added Joe Mixon. So, and then when you say, like, all right, do you like the quarterback in Houston or in Tennessee more? So I think it's fair to say that, you know, across the board, there's going to be comparable talent everywhere. I think the real question now ends up being, what about the quarterback? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right, because I think everything is going to boil down to whether Will Levis, you know, builds on what he did last year, or will he take a step back? We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, I'm still wondering about, you know, how do they, meaning the Tennessee Titans, proceed? Because, you know, at the beginning of this, before they got Calvin Ridley, you know, the fan base was screaming, he needs to spend more money, Rand needs to spend more money. And then he goes out and get Ridley, and it seems like all of a sudden now the noise has quieted just a little bit. Why is it hard to get fans to understand that, hey, listen, you cannot build this in a day. You cannot build Rome in a day. We cannot build this roster back up in a day. It's going to take time. Free agency didn't even start, and fans were complaining that the Titans were not spending money. And we didn't even get into free agency yet.
I think the reason for it is the team's – I mean, the team hasn't been great for a while. I mean, I think it's that simple. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people talk about, you know, the draft and what we think the Titans are going to do, what do you think is going to happen to free agency, what's going to happen with Derrick Henry, and what's going to – you know, who do you think the quarterback's going to be, and all of that stuff, right? And, and then they talk about how, like, look, it's been a while since the team's been good, and you've really been able to enjoy success from the team, especially with kind of how things started off, you know, for the Titans, if you're somebody that's been, you know, a fan of the team for, you know, 20 years or so. So I think that that ends up being, you know, why there's so much kind of impatience. I think it's the time of year where, you know, you look around and you say, okay, well, like, it seems like, you know, hey, Russell Wilson's going to Pittsburgh. Is that going to help them? And, hey, Kirk Cousins is on his way to Atlanta, and look how that's going to help them. Like, hey, what are we doing, right? Like, I think that, you know, there's this comparison as well that makes you a little bit uneasy to say, okay, we're doing all that, and – oh, by the way, now that things have started, yeah, Derrick Henry, he's now with Lamar Jackson, and we know that Baltimore's really good. And, you know, you look at a team like, you know, the Chiefs, like, they're good every year. And so you just wonder, like, hey, where do you fit in?
Tim Hasselbeck is with us talking some NFL football. All right, Tim, the Mason Rudolph signing. I guess I was not thinking about him that much, but I looked at his numbers late in the season where he got to play and even played in the playoff game. He wasn't bad. So if you're just looking at him as the backup, it looks like a solid choice. What do you know about him, the person? Like, and what could he maybe do to help a young quarterback like Will Levis?
I think he's got a good perspective because how his career is gone. Remember, he was in that ugly incident with Myles Garrett. As a very young player, he's probably kind of thrown into the mix a little bit with Ben Roethlisberger in a way that maybe wasn't great for his career. I actually thought when he was coming out of Oklahoma State, I thought he was the best deep ball thrower in the draft that year. I actually thought that he was good enough to be a late first-round pick. I thought that's kind of the type of prospect he looked like at the time. And I think as a guy and as a person, I think he's matured. I think he's got a lot of experience playing, watching, being the starter, being the backup, being the third guy for a guy that, you know, hasn't been in the league for all that long. He's been around a number of different players. I think that's a good thing for his perspective at this point. I think he has an appreciation for the opportunity to play but also understands that, you know, that's not always your role every single week. I think that's a good thing for the Titans. But I do think this. He to me, is not a guy that has kind of resigned himself to being a backup for the rest of his career. I just don't think that that's his makeup or how he sees himself. And I think that's okay, considering the situation that he's come into. But, look, I don't want to say he's not going to be helpful to Will Levis, because I think that he probably will be, because I do think his experience probably has shaped how he will treat a guy that's the presumed starter. All that to say, I think that he probably is looking at this as an opportunity to say, if I get a chance to play, I'm going to keep this job.
That's interesting to mention that, because we've had those discussions about when a guy is signed, and I wonder what was talked about as they negotiated that deal. Hey, Mason, we're bringing you in to be the backup. Or did they give him a hint that, hey, if this kid struggles, he's unproven, who knows what could happen? You know, there's different ways you could couch it to sell him on coming to Nashville, but I don't know what else was out there for Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, well, listen, I think he'll be one of the better backups in the league. I don't think there's any question that he'll be perceived as that. And I would just say this, in terms of like I was looking at the deal that he signed. He basically signed a 1-year, $2.87 million deal. And so what did he do? He signed to be the backup. Like, that's what he did. And really, he signed to be the backup on, you know, not like elite backup money. You know, if like, you know, as a comparison, you know, if you look at, I don't know, Drew Locke would be somebody that I think you could say, like, I mean, I would say that I think that he's better than Drew Locke. Drew Locke signed a 1-year, $5 million deal with the Giants. So to be a backup, right? So I guess what I mean, I think it's a good deal for the Titans. Economically, I think he definitely is the backup quarterback based on how they paid him. So there certainly were no assurances, in terms of anything else. And then, you know, for him, if he plays great, he's up and he gets an opportunity to either be in Tennessee or be somewhere else.
I think it's a really interesting perspective that when you point out that it's not like he's 36 years old, right? And said, okay, I'll be the Steve DeBerg. Right, I'll just be the backup, then maybe I'll never play. He probably chose Tennessee looking at it, say, I'll take a little less money, but here's a young guy. His career could go in a lot of different directions. He'll probably try to say the right things, but he's probably also privately saying, look, he's got a little bit of an injury history, and he's a little unproven. Maybe this is a place where I could restart my career if things fall a certain way.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, and look, as I looked up the money, I have to say, like, I'm surprised that he's making less money than Drew Locke. Like, I mean, and I think it easily could have been, I don't know this in terms of like, hey, what else was out there? But if you're a guy that's a backup quarterback looking for a landing spot, but you're itching to play because you think you can, I mean, find me a better environment than the Titans. Right? I mean, it might be the best one. Cause especially when you think about, like, the places that are, you know, most likely going to draft a quarterback. So, I think when you look at that and you think about, you know, where a guy is and then also from the player's perspective, like, what you think of yourself and what you're trying to accomplish. You know, the Giants situation, think about Drew Locke. He goes there. They already have a quarterback on the roster that, you know, there's probably some kind of uncertainty with, but maybe they're going to be committed to him. But there's also a really good chance that within the first five picks of the draft that they're drafting a quarterback. So, you know, that's very different, I think, than the situation in Tennessee.
In regards to two teams, Tim, Minnesota, not Minnesota, but Atlanta. Signing Kirk Cousins, where does that put them in the NFC? And then looking at Houston, what they did from a free agency standpoint, do you think more teams are going to be inclined to do that, meaning have the rookie quarterback still under the rookie contract, but trying to aggressively, and I mean aggressively, build around them and maybe even, you know, overpaying for individuals because you're trying to build a team while the young quarterback is still under his rookie deal?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think if you know that a rookie quarterback can play, that I get it, you know, or, you know, a guy on his rookie deal can play, then go ahead and go all in. At the same time, like if you are, you know, a team like Atlanta and you say, look, we know all these other guys around him can play. We've drafted, you know, young quarterbacks, and they just haven't turned out to be as good as we thought that they would be. And so, like, what do we have to do at this point? Like, what we have to do is go get the guy that throws, you know, 30 touchdowns and 10 picks and over 4,000 yards every year and pair him with it. So, you know, I just think that, you know, I think we do this sometimes, like, what's the right way to do it? You know, what's the right way to build it? Or if you could do it, how would you do it? And, you know, I think that if we're really being honest about, you know, these teams that find a young quarterback that everybody looks and goes, yep, you know what? You can win a Super Bowl with that guy. I think it's fair to say that, like, everyone to a certain degree has dumbed into that. And I mean that, like, not really meant to be in a negative way, but, like, did everyone know that C.J. Stroud was going to be that good and they should just go ahead and, like, put the chips in the middle of the table and build around him right away? Like, they didn't know that, which is why he got drafted where he got drafted. The same thing with you know, when you look around, like Brock Purdy for that matter, or, you know, any of these young guys that have played well where you say, hey, let's hurry up and build around him. I don't think you really know until that guy plays for a year or two.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, the Titans have reportedly been in conversations with the Chiefs about cornerback L'Jarius Sneed. He's been tagged by the Chiefs, but the Chiefs have granted him permission to seek a trade. The reported asking price is a third-round pick. The Titans don't have a third-round pick in this upcoming draft, so it would be a 2025 third. I would be shocked and floored if a 2025 third would be all that it would take to trade for L'Jarius Sneed. What do you think the asking price is, and if you're the Titans, what should you be willing to offer to trade for L'Jarius Sneed?
Yeah, that seems super low to me, even if it was a third this year. Because, you know, you're going to end up getting him under contract. You know, I think part of it ends up being, like, do you think that he's going to be such a disaster in terms of not wanting to play? Like, I was looking it up now, he's 27 years old. So, like, if you sign him to a four-year contract, like, chances are you're still getting the best football out of him. So I'm shocked that it wouldn't be more than that. So we're saying third-round pick, that seems low. Maybe it's a second. I think I told you guys last week or 2 weeks ago that I would guess that it would be a first-rounder for an elite corner, especially at his age and injury history. So that would be shocking to me. Look, if the Titans could pull that off where it's anything less than giving up a first-rounder and getting him on a four-year deal, I think that would be a win for the Titans.
All right, last one for you, Tim, quickly. Derrick Henry to the Ravens. How scary is that offense going to be?
Yeah, I think it's going to be scary. I'm a little bit interested to see the fit, just to be candid about it. Like, I think Derrick Henry, you know, we know that he's a big downhill runner. Once he gets going, it's hard to stop him. I think a lot of that run game, while they do have, like, traditional power runs, there are a lot of reads associated with it because of, you know, how Lamar Jackson is, you know, as a runner. And so, I don't think that every run scheme fits every single back, and certainly not every run scheme fits Derrick Henry. And so I think it'll be somewhat interesting. I really do. I'm not totally sold on the volume of carry and fit for him.
Fair point. Tim, great stuff. Appreciate you for joining us, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Awesome. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Appreciate him for joining us. Great as always. Right, coming up next, Calvin Ridley is a Tennessee Titan. What do we make of the signing? What do we make of the money? And what do we think that means for what the Titans could do at the wide receiver position? Does that change their offseason plan? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
We are seeing some rumblings from Ian's camera. There he is. He's been.
Ooh.
Yes. And look.
Here we go.
All right.
You want a bombshell?
Lay it out, brother.
You want a bombshell, Rhett?
Let's have one.
Here we go. Sources say the Tennessee Titans are signing Jaguars star receiver Calvin Ridley. Ooh. Listen to this massive deal. 4 years, $92 million for Calvin Ridley. $50 million fully guaranteed in this deal, negotiated by David Mulugeta and Reza Azam of Athletes First. Calvin Ridley turns 30 this season. 30, and he gets a massive, massive deal from the Titans. Everyone has been assuming, I think this whole time, that it was going to be the Jaguars, it was going to be the Patriots. No, no, it is the Tennessee Titans quietly lurking, working, and now landing a top free agent receiver. A massive, massive move for the Titans.
Quietly lurking and working. All right. Poetry there. Tennessee Titans sign wide receiver Calvin Ridley, 4-year deal, up to $92 million, $50 million guaranteed. D-Mace, your initial reaction to the Calvin Ridley news?
Well, they needed him. It was a plus. You know, I think they got better as an offense just by personnel. If we're basing it on the personnel.
On paper, they're better today than
exactly.
They were 2 days ago.
Absolutely. And that's what you hope for as a organization. You know, obviously, you don't win Super Bowls or championships this time of year. But with what Calvin Ridley has been able to do, whether it be in Atlanta or in Jacksonville, he proved that, you know, he can be a number one receiver. And I'm not too worried about the money because, listen, that's what you got to pay for a guy you deem a number one guy.
Yeah.
You're going to have to – and actually, you may have gotten him a little bit cheaper, you know, considering what these number one guys are getting nowadays. And everybody points to the A.J. Brown. No, that was a year. That was 2 years ago, people.
It was a different general manager.
Yesterday's money is not today's money, okay? $25 million that Calvin Ridley is getting today would have been much less 2 years ago. So we can't keep on falling back on, they could have traded, you know, they could have signed A.J. Brown for that money. No, it was totally different back then. Different GM, too. So
would the Titans have been better off if they just would have re-signed A.J. Brown?
Of course we know that.
Of course.
Absolutely. But
you can't cry over that.
Exactly. That's neither here nor there. I think it was a good deal. This is what you're going to pay for a guy you deemed a number one guy. People were all up in arms because they felt Ram wasn't doing enough. He goes out and he signs you a number one receiver. Now, let it all play out. I think it was a good deal. Now, looking at it based upon just personnel, you got D-Hop, you got Calvin Ridley, and you got Treylon Burks.
And don't you forget the news that we saw coming out this morning. Mm-hmm. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
But he's your fourth receiver. But you got
death taxes and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
You got to have
things that are inevitable.
Exactly. But you have three guys that you believe in this new system, once they all figure it out, and we hope they all figure it out very quickly, that they can pose some problems for secondaries because they're all big guys. They all have different sort of skill sets. But you're hoping what's going to all tie it together, I believe, is Treylon Burks. If you can get him going, now he ties together that number one, that number two, and now you have a bona fide number three. what we're seeing is exactly what they had in Cincinnati. They had three guys and a tight end, three guys that can go out and get the job done. That's what they're trying to recreate here in Nashville. You got your three skilled guys with your tight end. He's a skilled guy as well, but I'm saying from a receiver standpoint, you got three guys that you feel you can put out on the field and that more times than not you should have an advantage. And then you add the tight end in as well. Now you got four guys that you can pose problem for opposing teams secondary. But the guy that's going to tie it all together is Treylon Burks, and that's if he can come around and play the way that I believe he can play, and I think the organization believes he can play. But no doubt, Calvin Ridley is your number one. I think I heard somebody say, well, D-Hop is – no, D-Hop's not your number one now. Calvin's your number one, but who benefits is D-Hop. I've been telling y'all this for the last year. You get D-Hop, I think D-Hop is a dog, like a D-A-double-G. But he's getting to a point where that dog needs some help. He needs a guy to take some of the pressure off of him. You get him a number one guy, which they have, his job becomes a little bit easier. When a number one guy goes from a number one as he starts to age into that number two, you get him a bona fide number one, now you extend his ability to play at a high level because now all the pressure is not on him. All the attention is not on him. It's on Calvin Ridley. And I take D-Hop on a number two corner any day, all day, three times on Sunday.
Totally. Did the Titans overpay for Calvin Ridley? Probably. But that was what it was going to take to go out and get Calvin Ridley. And can we all agree he was the best receiver on the market?
Yeah, but they didn't overpay for him. I don't think they overpaid for him.
If you think that they did, I'm fine with that.
Uh-huh.
Like, if 20... I'm looking at it like a two-year, $25 million deal. I know it's 4 years. I know it's 90-something, but the way that it's structured and with the guarantees, that's kind of what it feels like, and I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. If that's what it took to get Calvin Ridley here, because you knew that Jacksonville was going to be in on the sweepstakes as well, if you had to sweeten the pot a little bit with an extra million here and extra guarantees there, I'm okay with that if that's what it took to get Calvin Ridley, because he is quick. Mm-hmm. He is speedy, and that's what this offense needed. That's what Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan talked about, that Rand just reveled in the Miami Dolphins, how fast they were. The Titans don't have a speedy receiver. Calvin Ridley gives you that speed. Is he going to be your number one receiver for the next 4 to 5 years? No, he's not, but he's your number one receiver right now. The other thing is he had speed, and also, let's not forget where Nick Holtz came from. He was the passing game coordinator in Jacksonville this past season. He was with Calvin Ridley this past season. So I think that if the Titans were smart, they would have gotten that Nick Holt seal of approval of any red flags that may exist for Calvin Ridley, I'm not concerned about, and he's worth giving the money.
I think the Holtz part of it is very important because I think when you invest that much in the person, forget about the talent. I don't think there's ever been any question about Calvin Ridley's talent, and I trust D-Mace. D-Mace, you've been talking about him for the last couple of years. When he was suspended, you know, what he would bring to the table when he came back into the league. But I think Holtz has that extra layer of knowing the person because Calvin Ridley has had a couple of different things. It wasn't just the gambling, right? He went through some stuff when he was playing with Atlanta. He had some mental health things, and I hope that he has gotten everything straightened out because he's an impressive talent. There's no question. And so they need to, you know, when you invest that money in a guy, it's not just investing in the talent. You're investing in the person. And how he meshes with DeAndre Hopkins is going to be important. And so Holtz had to sort of say, yeah, let's go get this guy because he can really help us. So they really felt strongly about it.
And I think that having the Nick Holt seal of approval is important because it feels very icky, and I don't want to say that Calvin Ridley sitting out this season for mental health issues is a red flag, but because focusing on mental health is incredibly important, but anything that keeps you off of the field for whatever reason, injury or mental health or suspension, whatever it might be, you have to look at that and say, is that going to be a problem for us moving forward? Because we need you on the field. We're paying you to be on the field and to consistently stay on the field. So I think that the Nick Holtz saying, like, yeah, green light, that's a guy that's worth paying the money to, I think is incredibly important. Now, I think one thing that can't go ignored is, right, you bring in Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
You bring back Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Do you have the wide receiver position solved for the next 3, 5, 10 years? No, because you only have D-Hop for one more year. I don't think that Calvin Ridley's your long-term answer. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine absolutely is not your long-term answer. We'll see with Treylon Burks how he plays this upcoming season. But at least for right now, do you feel okay enough at the wide receiver position that the Titans could do something else with that second overall pick? I think they absolutely still could take a receiver, whether it's in the first round or in the second round. But if a corner comes around at 38, if the asking price for L'Jarius Sneed is the second overall pick, the second round pick, 38th overall pick, would you now, with the Calvin Ridley signing, feel comfortable enough at the wide receiver position to shop around your options with the 38th overall pick?
I don't think you're ever comfortable with, you know, anything on your roster. Even if you have your stud quarterback, you're not comfortable because you always want to build around that stud quarterback, whoever it is. I'm sure Kansas City is not comfortable because they won, you know, back-to-back Super Bowls. They want to win that third one. So,
but do you feel like you have enough at receiver?
No, I don't think they have enough from this standpoint because, and you said it, Caroline, we're playing a long game. We're not playing a short game, fans. We're playing a long game. And a long game suggests that D-Hop is not going to be in the future for the long game. This year, yes. Maybe even next year. I don't know. Maybe he can sign a one-year deal just to come back next year. But beyond that, we need more receivers. We're going to need younger receivers. We're going to need someone that can grow with Will Levis. Hopefully, Treylon comes around. If he does, great. If he doesn't, then you're going to need two to eventually grow with Will Levis. So I don't think the Titans are satisfied. Now, will they use that second pick, you know, that 38th pick in the second round on a wide receiver? I'm not sure. But, you know, what I said before they even signed Calvin Ridley, I said to me, it's the offensive line and then it's the cornerback and then wide receiver.
Yeah.
If you're talking about, you know, how do we prioritize the positions, I said you needed a left tackle and you need someone to combat all these damn receivers that are in your division. You need a cornerback, and right now you don't have him. I know you went and got the kid from
Cincinnati,
yeah. But you still need another guy because you don't have – your secondary is not set. So even with the signing of Ridley, you do need another young wide receiver, but I think more importantly, you need a cornerback that's going to combat you with all these wide receivers that are now in your division. And I'm not even talking about just the AFC, period.
So now that the Titans have signed Calvin Ridley, let's just say L'Jarius Sneed and the asking price is this year's second round pick. Would you feel more comfortable doing that today than you did before the Titans signed Calvin Ridley?
I still wouldn't give up a second round pick. I don't know how you feel about it, Willie, but I still wouldn't give up that second round pick because we still have needs.
For L'Jarius Sneed?
Yeah.
I just, at this point with that big investment, I mean, how much money do we have here?
They still got $40 million.
Yeah, you got plenty of money.
But L'Jarius Sneed wasn't even the best defensive back. I think McDuffie was.
I feel like that takes you out of the Sneed thing with the investment in Ridley. I think you've got to try to hold back some flexibility, some resources. You can't go spend everything. I still am in the mode of you're building this year to really have it hit when your quarterback matures for the following year. And so that may be just me. I don't know. Maybe they'll take a big swing because Ridley was a big swing. But how many big swings do you have? I mean, you're just going to blow all the money and then you're right up against the cap again if you don't watch out and you're tying a lot of money to a small amount of players. We'll see. I'm kind of leaning away from the Sneed thing. I kind of like the idea of now that you have the wide receiver position addressed, you've got a year where Burks is basically being told, you got to find your spot. Look, we're not holding a spot for you. Now you have to find your way into this equation somewhere. And I like the idea of drafting the offensive lineman and then maybe drafting a corner now with the second round. You don't have to draft a wide receiver that early now.
If the Titans did still address receiver with 7th overall or 38th overall, I don't think that's a bad move. I don't think there's ever a position that you can find yourself in where it's like, man, we have too many good receivers. You know, like, wow, look at all this wealth of receivers that we have.
Well, I'm going to tell you
but
this.
But this at least gives you flexibility.
If they draft a receiver in the first round, Treylon Burks may be on the trading blocks. And that's just real talk. It's real. One of them on the trade blocks. And it's either D-Hop or Treylon. I lean more heavier toward Treylon if they do indeed address a wide receiver in the first round. But it could be D-Hop as well. Somebody would have to then be moved if you address the wide receiver spot with the 7th pick.
And I think it would be Treylon. I think you would get more return for Treylon.
What are you going to get for him?
Yeah.
Maybe like a 5th-round pick.
Why not just wait and see if Treylon Burks can be worth more than that, than a 5th-round pick, if that's all it is?
If you've gotten to the point where wait-and-see is no longer an option. I don't think D-Hop could get you more only because of the age. I think there's a GM out there that could fall in love with the potential of Treylon Burks and the raw talent of Treylon Burks and be able to have him longer than you would be able to have D-Hop.
I'm still keeping Burks, if that's all it is. I think there's still hope if it hits right. And you do have to think beyond this coming year because, as D-Mace mentioned, DeAndre Hopkins is aging and his contract will be up after this year.
And now that the Titans have signed Calvin Ridley, what does that mean for their offseason plan? Because I think now that opens up options. That opens up options for the first overall pick, the 38th overall pick, first round pick rather, what you could do in a trade, what you could do in free agency. So we'll continue that conversation coming up next. We'll get into your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. And the NCAA tournament is right around the corner, and it is time for you to sign up and play the official 1025 The Game Bracket Challenge, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracketchallenge or the 1025 The Game Nashville app right now and sign up to play for your chance to win 4-day passes to Bonnaroo. Brackets will open after the teams have been selected on Sunday, March 17th, live out here at BetMGM Sports Lounge, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays for live out here at the BetMGM Sports Lounge at Bridgestone Arena. The SEC tournament is in action. LSU leads Mississippi State 29-22 with 9 seconds left in the first half. We'll keep you updated with all of the action throughout the day here. But first, we're reacting to the Titans signing Calvin Ridley. 4 years, 90-something million. I don't have it up in front of me, but $50 million of that is guaranteed. I look at it and I think, okay, now you've signed Calvin Ridley. You bring back Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. You've got D-Hop, Calvin Ridley, NWI, Treylon Burks, we'll see. Kyle Phillips, we'll see. But this now makes me feel a little bit more comfortable about the receiver position, that if the Titans decide to address offensive line in the first round, then now in the second round that I looked at that 38th overall pick as kind of the receiver pick, now you might feel more comfortable going out and getting a corner if a corner's available with the 38th overall pick. Even trading the 38th overall pick for a luxurious need if the Kansas City Chiefs would be on board with that. That's something that I would be fine with, frankly. I know, Willie, you're afraid about the money. But I say, hey, you got to spend if you want to win in this league. And I would be fine now that the Titans have signed Calvin Ridley if the second round pick was in question or was the asking price for luxurious need. But now I wonder, what does this mean for Treylon Burks?
Well, I mean, what this may mean for Treylon Burks, and I think either you said it, Willie, or Caroline, you said it. Now he has to find his space. He has to find his place within the rotation.
He has to create his space in this rotation.
Create it, find it, take it, whatever it is. He has to. It's no longer a given. When you are drafted in the first round as high as he was, it's a given. You are going to be in the lineup if you show anything, especially how everything happened. Trading away one guy, drafting him. You just assume that you're going into a situation where if you're not the number one, you're the number two. So there was a place created for you already. Well, you know, Treylon's in a position now with them going to get D-Hop last year, them getting Calvin this year. signing Nick Westbrook-Ikhine back. We figure they may go out and get another receiver. They still got Kyle Phillips on the on the roster. He has to take a position. He has to create his own, sort of lane. And this is so familiar to me because this is what I went through. You know, I wasn't a first-round draft pick, but I showed my worth very early in my career. My first year, I showed that I could play. But I had to fight through all the bureaucracy and all the draft picks and them bringing in guys. And I created my space. Yeah. I took my space. I forced them to put me in a lineup. Now, it was because of injury, but I forced them to put me in the lineup but keep me there. That's what Treylon has to do because now he went from the penthouse. He's not in the outhouse yet, but he's damn near close. So now he has to create and take a position, a spot, because it's not given to him anymore. And I believe he will, but he has to create it and take it now because two of the spots are already taken, your number one guy and your number two guy. If you want to be on this team, you got to take hold of that number three spot and push that number two, which is DeAndre Hopkins. You got to push him to become that number two eventually.
Yeah, I could not agree more. That's well said. I think, when you're the number one pick, you do get space sort of set aside for a while. I noticed it as a 25th round pick for the Blue Jays. I wasn't getting put in the positions as the first or second round pick. You know, those guys get the advantage early, but over time, if you don't do it, then you get thrown back into the pile with everybody else, and you just got to earn your way in. So that's where Burks is. Maybe that'll bring out the best in. We'll see.
We shall see. All right, coming up next, Elliot Freeman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet will join us. All right, last week, Elliot was multitasking times 10. He was tweeting. He was on the phone with us, talking to us. He was getting texts from agents and from GMs across the league. Hopefully, Elliot has some time to at least breathe. So we will recap the NHL trade deadline with Elliot and kind of preview the playoffs. Predators, massive win last night, 4-2 over Winnipeg. We'll get Elliot's thoughts on that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.